Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
And I'm Helen.
And you're listening to the Squiggly Careers Podcast. This episode is part of our Skills Sprint series. We've recorded 20 episodes, each less than 7 minutes long, that we hope are going to help you to build some career development momentum. In every episode, we talk about a squiggly skill, what it is and why it matters, share an idea for action each, and give you a go-to guru and a podcast episode so you can learn more. And we want you to turn your skills sprint into a learning streak. And so for everyone who completes a 20-day learning streak, we'll be offering you a free 5 skills to succeed in a squiggly career virtual workshop in September. If you post about your progress on social and tag us at AmazingIf, and we'll be in touch to tell you more.
In this skill sprint, we're going to be talking about resilience. And this is one of the topics that we covered in our book, You Coach You. So I feel like we spent quite a lot of time on the topic of resilience. And when we wrote You Coach You as well, it was sort of during the pandemic. So I think we personally...
we were being resilient. We were living the dream.
we definitely needed it. And there's a nice quote, I think, which helps us to understand like what resilience is, that comes from Adam Grant. And he says, it is the strength and speed of your response to adversity. And I really like that because it makes me almost evaluate when I'm in a situation, how like powerfully am I responding to that problem, and also how quickly. And I feel like I can almost sort of coach myself by looking at that as a quote, though we sometimes feel that it puts a bit of pressure on people, like I don't like just recover quickly.
The speed bit I do think depends on the context and the knotty problem that you're experiencing at that moment. So sometimes you might think, well, speed matters a bit more because it's a smaller knotty problem. A week feels a bit stressful. You're trying to juggle 3 or 4 priorities. But if this is a bigger, knotty problem, I think I wouldn't want people to put pressure on themselves to be like,
you should be over it by now.
Why have I not sorted this out yet? Why have I not made progress yet? Because sometimes things are hard and they take time.
I think it's why as well, when we talk about resilience in our sessions, we talk about your resilience range. So how resilient are you across a range of different situations? And that, again, is quite useful for reflection because it helps you to see, oh, that one, yes, that one, no. And also your resilience reserves. That's the other thing that we talk about, which is making sure that you are proactively investing in your resilience, like the things that almost fill up your bucket of resilience is how I think about it, because you will be drawing on it constantly because we're all experiencing lots of adversity in our lives. And so if you are just relying on your resilience without investing in it, then basically you can run out and it becomes really, really hard then. So we want to think about your range and invest in your reserves.
And one of the things that I think sometimes we put too much emphasis on is, well, how can I be more resilient? You know, my strength and speed of response to things going wrong. And I also think there's a lot of value in the we as a team. So thinking about how as a team can we be more resilient? So what does it look like to support each other when there are knotty moments that actually we might be experiencing together? It's very rare at work, actually, it's just you, particularly if it's more project-based or to do with, you know, an objective you're working towards where things are not going well. So I think there it's like we're thinking about as a team together, like what does it look like to build our resilience reserves and our resilience range? So thinking about both I and we.
So some ideas for action to help you then. Mine is about focusing on your world outside of work. So one of the things that can be hard for your resilience is when your work becomes your entire world. It's called enmeshment is the, I guess, the technical term for this. I always think it's like where you have become what you do. And it means that you are overexposed to the ups and downs in your work. Like it affects you personally. You know, if something's going bad at work, you think you are bad. If it's going well, you've got all that energy. And, you know, there are lots of fluctuations, but it really affects how you feel when you are so closely connected to your work. So making sure that you're investing in your world outside of work is really important for your resilience. That could be, you know, the time you spend with your family. That could be your hobbies. That could be time you spend on your own, to be honest. But it reduces enmeshment. It means you're less exposed to the fluctuations. So I think what is important is to think, what is your world outside of work? How much are you prioritizing those things today? And if you are intentional about investing in it, would you do anything different?
Yeah, and I think my idea for action is connected, but perhaps a sort of more basic level, because I always really remember my conversation with Dr. Bill Mitchell, who spent his career sort of researching resilience, both for sort of individuals, but also for teams. And I pushed him, probably a bit unfairly, on sort of going, well, what's the one thing? Because, you know, you always want the silver bullet, because it makes life a bit easier. And there never are silver bullets. But he did actually say, the one thing I'd love everybody to do more is just have one thing every day that is just for you. Almost a selfish act where you kind of go, well, this is sort of my moment for me. I'm not doing this for anyone else. It's something that I enjoy. And it's a really small moment. It's often, we describe them as simple pleasures that make you smile. That one thing where you just think, oh, well, this is just the 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes that just sort of, I suppose, like often described as, you know, when your stress bucket gets overflowing, it sort of stops that from happening. You just release a bit of stress and a bit of tension. And actually often when I ask people, you know, do you daily do something that's just for you? Most people say no. Some of the times the one thing that gets me through a week is that I'm good at continually and consistently committing to, okay, well, I'm just going to go for a walk by myself and get a coffee. I am going to go and do a Pilates class today. And it does sometimes feel selfish, and you do sometimes feel a little bit guilty, and you do realize there should be work you should be doing, or a six-year-old you should be playing Pokemon with. But if you don't do this, I think you just recognize that those knotty moments can get overwhelming very quickly.
I guess it's the self-care isn't selfish kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So our go-to guru on this topic is Brilliant Bruce, Bruce Daisley.
Brilliant Bruce.
Brilliant Bruce.
We should just call him that from now on.
I don't think he'd like it.
No, I don't think he would either.
I don't think he'd like it. But Bruce Daisley...
He doesn't even like resilience, to be fair.
I know. He's got a book called Fortitude, because he thinks that's a better word. But it is a really good book on the topic of resilience, and particularly the we elements as well. That really sticks with me from that book. And if you want to listen and learn a little bit more on this topic, then the episode that Sarah recorded with Dr. Bill Mitchell is 252 of the Squiggly Careers podcast.
Thank you for listening to this skills sprint. We hope you found it useful. We'd love you to share and subscribe so you don't miss a sprint. And that's everything for this episode. So bye for now.
Bye everyone.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.